Ah, these 2024 Mets, I tell ya, they're hotter than a flaming bottle of the spicy catcher's mitt. Firing baseballs faster than my dignity ran out the door.
Welcome to episode 70 of Mets on Tap, a drinking podcast from barleypros.com talking about Mets baseball. Pour yourself a beer, grab a seat in the bleachers, and have a chat with us. I'm Michael, here today with Jason. So, hello.
Evening, Michael. This is episode number 70. Current pitcher for the Mets today, number 70, Jose Buto. Isn't that a nice little quinky dink?
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. And he's winning.
And he's winning now. He was off to a shaky start. I've been running around crazy. I've been listening to most of the game. I haven't watched a ton of it until last 15 or 20 minutes here, but I was listening in the garage, and it's good to see him settle down after a bumpy start there. It's encouraging.
Yeah. Well, first bat, I actually missed all the three runs. I sort of blanked on the start time. You know, you run around.
It's a weird start. It's a weird start time because they're on Central time, but they're not starting it like the 8:05 or 8:10 Eastern time that we would be accustomed to. Like that 7:45 local time is a weird start time.
Yeah, I'd be okay with the Mets starting 20 minutes earlier. But I'm just not used to it. So like I turned it on and they were already down 3-0. I'm like, oh, maybe I'm not even gonna watch this. But they held it tight. Brandon Nemo went off for three runs, and then we got some runs.
And apparently Wilson Contreras broke his arm on a backswing. Did you catch that news?
Yeah, I caught that news, but again, that was in that first inning that I missed. So.
Yeah.
I turned it on the at-bat after that.
Yeah, and in real time here, since we're doing this in real time, J.D. Martinez just played at Alonso with a single, and it's now 6-3 Mets in the top of the fifth. And things are looking up after a win yesterday to break a losing streak. And, at J.D. Martinez starting to come around, I think the manager doing a good thing by giving Lindor and Alonso some off days. These guys have this pride thing where they want to play every single day, but it does less of a service to the team when you're 1-for-27 or whatever these guys have been. So Alonso, give a little breath, right?
Alonso needed the day off. Lindor was violently ill. So
yeah,
it was more I better get out of this game.
Yeah, and then he came back and pinch hit on a day where he was still feeling cruddy and had a couple of big RBIs. Was that in San Fran or
I don't know? That was in Chicago, I believe. I lose track. Once they're out of town, I forget who. I think that was against the Cubs, right?
No, I think you're right.
It was against the Cubs. They played the Cubs before the Rays, and then now we're at the Cardinals. Yeah. So it's been a while since the Mets have won two in a row, but it looks like if they hold on here, start to right the ship a little bit.
It has. They have not won two in a row since April. Now we're looking at the May results here. I mean, it's only May 7th, but still.
Yeah, I could go back to April a little,
Yeah, no, it looks like the last time they won back-to-back games was against the Dodgers. April 19 and 20. Yeah, that's quite a while ago. So, yeah, we're rooting for optimism. And I'll tell you something. It doesn't even really matter what they do on one day to the next, considering how hot the Phillies have been with 17-3 in their last 20 or something.
Try not to look at that. But whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's still long season. Just play some games, stay above 500. Really, that's the Mets' goal right now.
Yeah, the Mets haven't had any games against Phillies yet, though. I think they have this weekend, don't they?
The Braves first, and then they've got
the Braves and then the Phillies.
They've got that weird 2-2 that they're playing. I think Gary Cohen just mentioned it earlier in the game. They're playing two home, and then they go and play two in Philly. I guess this is part of, I guess, they lopped a game off of each of those series for the London series.
Oh, so is that what that is?
Yeah, so I guess this is how that fits in, kind of, or the way schedule fit in.
Usually those 2-2 would only be against the Yankees. I can't think of any other teams where they have that specific, like, sequence.
Yeah, that was a weird, like, interleague thing. I don't think they do that anymore either.
No, okay. Now the schedule changes a lot, and now lately, I do like them playing the American League teams. I'm starting to warm to it. I really feel like it's been over the years, like 19 games against each of the four division opponents means that's half your season, right? Against four teams. Yeah, so yeah, mix it up a little bit. Yeah, it's a lot.
And at this point in 2024, like the difference between like the Tampa Bay Rays and like the Pittsburgh Pirates, although obviously one team's a lot better generally, but generally speaking, but in terms of, hey, let's see these guys we haven't case in a while, like the Rays, the Pirates, the Giants, the
All right.
Mariners, who cares? They're just another MLB team. They're all the same.
Maybe the reason we hate the Phillies and the Braves and the Nationals so much is just because we have to watch them so much, right? Maybe it's just that. It's over familiarity. Like, boy, I really, these teams irritate me just, but maybe it's because we have seen so many Mets Nationals games and so many Mets Phillies games over the
Yeah,
years.
fine, fine, yeah.
Could be.
So what
What
else do
else do
we
we
got?
have? What else do we have Mets
Do
wise?
we talk about the hot dog thing? We didn't talk about that. That was after our last
No, that
recording,
was
right?
that's been since our last podcast. Yeah, so they had dollar hot dogs, which is funny because even in AAA Syracuse, we don't get one. We get $2 hot dogs. We don't have dollar dogs anymore. We used to, but said like the cost of everything has gone up, and they're now $2 dogs. So I'm gonna ask my. I'm actually friends with the general manager here in Syracuse, and I'm gonna next time I see him on the concourse there, I'm gonna say, hey, you know the major leagues they do dollar dogs. We can't get a dollar dog here in Syracuse. It
They can
doesn't
get a
seem right
dollar
here.
dog. Yeah, I was gonna ask because like I feel like that dollar dog thing is like a must be like a minor league thing that a lot of parks do. But apparently, so this is a
So,
big thing about I know Philly like cut down a lot of their dollar dog things because they claimed the fans were just rowdy. I think they were just being lazy. But the
44,000 hot
yeah,
dogs that they sold. It's fantastic.
the Blue Jays did more than that day. So
Yeah.
the Mets need to maybe pipe down
Yep.
a little bit. The Blue Jays fans ate more hot dogs literally that same day.
Oh, it was the same day. That's funny. I missed that. That part of the story I missed. No, they made I like that they made light of it in the broadcast and Gelb's wearing the costume and
Yeah,
showing
silly. Yeah.
idiot fans who ate 28 hot dogs. It's good for that. But you know, so the what they have in AAA Syracuse for those folks who aren't local to where I live is every Thursday is dollar day, but it's dollar sodas. And $2 hot dogs and $3 beer. So it you they used to all be a buck. Used to be able to actually get a beer for a dollar. Now that went to two and it went to three. But the cups got bigger. The $1 beers I feel like were 8 ounce cups. And now the 3 ounce or the $3 beers are 12 ounce pours. So it's like a can of beer for
Yeah,
$3. And they have some, you know, their craft beers for you can get some Saranac beers here for that price. So it's a pretty good deal.
I've seen the Blue Jays have been doing it for a while. They have like loony dogs or whatever they're called, and they do like a whole like how many dogs per fan over there. They track. They got a spreadsheet. They got all the data going on and try to break the record and stuff. It's fun.
I was on work travel a few years ago in Texas, and we happened to be close enough to the Rangers stadium that I convinced three. I was there with three coworkers. There were four of us, and we went on, and it happened to be Dollar Dog Day. So the four of us expensed a business dinner for $8 because we each got two hot dogs. So four people getting a business dinner for $8, courtesy of our employer, was a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah, something else I saw going around earlier this season, not necessarily MLB, right? But I because we are a drinking podcast, I feel like I'm obligated to mention that there was this like nine innings, nine hot dogs, nine beers like challenge that people were talking about, which feels intense. Like I could do nine dogs, I'm sure, especially over nine
Do you
innings,
think you
but
could? I think
I
I
could
could
do
do
nine
nine
hot
beers
dogs.
easy. I could do 9 beers easier than I could
You
do
can do
nine
nine
hot dogs.
beers easier.
Maybe
I could do maybe I could do nine Bud Lights, maybe
not.
in nine innings, 2 hours.
Oh.
Yeah, it's still that's a lot of liquid for 2 hours, even 2.5 hours.
For our listeners, Mike did make little air quotes when he said Bud Light as if it was a
That
beer. So
was beer. Yeah,
we'll count. It's
you gotta go.
technically a beer.
You gotta go with like I mean I feel like you're doing nine beers. You should, unless
Yeah.
you if you don't do like a 3.5%
No
beer,
IPAs.
you're screwed. You're like.
Yeah, no IPAs. Absolutely. You got to drink. Maybe at best you get a Pilsner or you get
Yeah,
something that's
it's
like
gotta
a
be
lighter.
sessionist at least a little bit
Yeah.
session. Otherwise, you're killing yourself. This is like when people used to do. I don't know. I haven't seen much of it anymore. The beer mile, where you run a
Oh,
lap
yeah.
and drink a
I
beer and run a lap
drink
and drink
four
a
beers.
beer.
The beer mile. I've seen the beer mile. I've never done the beer mile. I've never been tempted. As soon as I do a lot of running and I
Yeah.
do a fair amount of beer drinking, but I never do one before the other. As soon as I have a beer, that
Yeah,
has
that's it.
eliminated any running. I'll run tomorrow. If I had a beer, I'm not gonna run. That's it. I'd have the beer after the run.
I don't have that like group of friends, but I feel like maybe if I was younger, like the 20s, or this is like a bachelor party thing. Like, hey, we're gonna do a like if you're a my friends were not athletic enough for this that we're gonna do some active like frat party like bachelor party type thing. But if you were
Yeah.
into that, if you're a runner, like, hey, let's do a beer mile as to kick off our party weekend or something like that.
There's really a lot of variation because I run with a run club and it's a fairly It's a fairly decent collection. Like we would run on Saturday mornings and Wednesday nights, and most Wednesdays we start and end at a brew pub and we have beer. And on, even on some of the Saturday mornings we do, like there's a soccer bar in downtown Syracuse that we run from, and we get back from our run Saturday morning at 9. They're open because there's soccer games. It's a big European soccer bar, and so some of my running friends will have a beer at 9:30 in the morning. They ran 5 miles. They want a beer at the end. So,
hey,
you know, but and then there are some other groups where they're very focused on improving your times and your pace and getting better, and those guys aren't drinking nearly as much. And then there's some others, there's these harriers, so they actually like build the drinking right into the running, like they're going to run a 5 mile loop in the woods, but they have strategically placed beers along the route, so they stop during the run to
Nice.
drink the beer. And yeah, so it's there's all kinds of you know, the ultimate thing is that the runner's high and the beer drinker's high. If you had a Venn diagram, there's quite a bit of overlap there. My running friends, as a group, generally speaking, they like to have a beer at the end of it. They do.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm not a runner, and my feet hurt just thinking about it. I did try a couple times a couple years ago, just as like, hey, this is an easy thing, you know, with running. It's like go out, run 2 miles in the
Yeah.
streets, but my feet would just kill me. And I think part of it is
Did you invest in a proper pair of running shoes? Because that's
no, but
really
I wasn't wearing
the
like bad sneakers. Like they were pretty supportive, and I just
it's
it was beat. Yeah.
you know, as you get into your, I didn't start running as an adult till I was in my 30s, and I think a lot of adults pick it up because they spend their 20s, you know, having their metabolism slow down and gaining weight post college, which is what happened to me. And the nice thing about running really is that aside from investing in a proper pair of running shoes, it's a fairly inexpensive hobby. You can buy, you know, $10 shorts from Walmart and run in a t-shirt. And if you have proper sneakers, you can get a lot of benefit from it. But actually, so this past Sunday, Syracuse had one of its kind of iconic road races called the Mountain Goat. It's a 10-mile race. And what a lot of the bigger races do is they have a post-race party with live music and beer. And there's a sponsor. And sometimes the sponsor is a brew pub or a brewery, and they'll supply the beer. So, like, you know, Syracuse had a big half marathon a couple months ago. They had no sponsor that was a brewery, no beer sponsor. So the post-race, they had two kinds of beer. They had Bud Light and they had Ultra, which I'm not drinking those beers. They're not what I like. And actually, there was the same last year, and I emailed the race director and I said, can we get a proper beer? And he emailed me back and said, you know, these beers cost half what the IPAs and the craft beers cost. That's why you get these. And so I'm
Right.
like, okay, he's got a budget, whatever. And then the Mountain Goat this past weekend, one of their sponsors is Myers Creek, which is a local microbrewery. And so they had their own Pilsner and they had their own IPA at the post race party, which was much preferable. And I had a couple of those after the race. And it was a good time. They had live music with a band with playing covers, and they had horns, and that we was the race happened to be on Cinco de Mayo, so there was all kinds of Mexican type snacks around and IPAs. And I was like, this is how you do the post race, you know. And then we do the Boilermaker. That's a big race in the summer in Utica, New York, and it's always sponsored by Saranac. And unfortunately, you know, in years past, Saranac would there's always free beer and there's always live music at the post race, and it's always one kind of beer. Like Saranac will put out all these trucks. The party's actually in the brewery parking lot is where the post race party is, and they're like one of the main sponsors of this race. And in years past, they would use it to bust out like their newest beer. Like this year, we have a blueberry blonde, and that's what we're serving at the post race. It was great. A couple years ago, they brought back Utica Club, and this is some swill. It's terrible. It was like the local beer in the 60s. It goes probably back to the 20s and 30s, right? And it was discontinued, and they brought it back. They got the original recipe, and it tastes like a lot of brew pubs do this, right? They bring back some historically
Like
significant,
Ryvold
like,
and you know, all that
yeah,
sort of
the
stuff, yeah.
lager, right? Because
Ballantine, you know, yeah.
Syracuse has one too. It's called Congress, and my buddies at Willow Rock brew it now with the original recipe. And I'm like, I wouldn't drink that. It tastes terrible. It tastes like a Bud Light to me. It's a real thin light lager. It's fine for it's you know what? And all these brew pubs around here, they love it because there are certain older guard guys who just want beer that tastes like that. They don't want a craft beer. They want to come in and sit at a brew pub. They want something that tastes like that. And they'll drink a Congress or they'll drink a Utica Club. And so now at these post race, I don't drink much at all because I can have one or two of these. They're just gross, and it's not a thing I would ever seek out or enjoy. And some of my friends are like, man, this is great, Utica Club. I'm like, but I don't know. We found like they had one truck last year where they were actually giving out some hard ciders that they do. And I'm not a big hard cider guy, but I hung around that truck until the ciders were gone. And so I was able to get a couple of those instead of the Utica Clubs. But we sought it out because we were like, I'm not a Utica Club guy, and I never will be.
Yeah, I mean,
I said,
I don't really. I'm fine drinking water a lot of times. It's nice to have. Like you're at a party or a barbecue, and that's all they have is one of those, trashy things. I'll drink it just because,
You're fitting in.
yeah. And then I feel like, because I don't know. That's just me being like an introvert, and like you have to have something in my hand to do. And you can't really drink. You can, but like if you drink like 3 glasses of water, it sort of doesn't go down the same way as like the bubbles and the foam and.
Yeah, there's a social aspect to it
I could go
too. I mean, I
seltzer, I
don't.
guess, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't. There's a lot of things I'm picking over the classic 1950s style lager. That's all I'm saying. But that's not what I'm drinking today. What are you drinking today, Mike?
I am drinking a beer called Lemon Laws from Gerberlach Brewing, which is my local brewery. I always struggle with my virtual background to see. It's a nice little, there's not much to it. It's a New England style session IPA, like I was talking about, and there's not much to it. It's just an IPA. It's just a standard juicy session. It's a little, it's light. It's not as heavy as some of those double IPAs, milkshake, New England style stuff can be a little heavy, a little cloying. They have lactose. They're all like, this one's nice and refreshing. It's got like just a hint of that like tart, like lemon drop hops or whatever's in here. Just gives it a nice drinking. Casual beer Tuesday night. Beast
Very
softball
nice.
beer.
So I am trying to figure out what this is. So there's a local craft beer organization I found at the farmers market. They're called Think New York, Drink New York, and they bring in a bunch of craft beer from all over New York State and sell them locally here in Syracuse. One of the things that I like about it is they sell the mystery four pack. You have 4 16-ounce beers for $15, guaranteed. One of them is an IPA, and so I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna go and talk to these guys and just tell them I like what they do and buy one of these mystery packs. So it included four beers. One was an IPA, which is what I'm drinking now. It's Catskill Brewery. Based out of Livingston Manor, New York, down where I grew up in the area of Sullivan County. This is called Grass Wagon India Pale Ale, Livingston Manor Bust. I don't know if Livingston Manor Bust is like the sub slogan, but Grass Wagon India Pale. And it's really good. It's a 5% IPA. And it occurs to me, I wouldn't normally even buy at a 5% IPA. I like my beers to be a little punchier than that, but it's quite good. It's tasty. It's a nice balanced beer. It's got color. And it's going down pretty easy.
Yeah, I've had some stuff from Catskill. Be a
Yeah, this is
decent
my
enough brewery.
first one. Yeah, so my four beers, I got an IPA, I got an American Pale, I got a Schwartz beer, and I got a Hefeweizen. So nice little mix of beers.
Yeah, I should. I was gonna sign in and see what I've had from Catskill. Something. I had two beers from Catskill Brewing, so maybe I'm overselling it. And I've had an Eye of Newt. Yeah, two Eye of Newts. I actually had it at. So this is funny. I had it at the QBC, the Mets, fan run, fan fest. Oh, it was. Oh, okay. I didn't like it. I thought I had good stuff from it. This one, I remember this. I remember this one now. It was very. It was a sour, and it was very sour. It was like, I mean, it
Gotcha.
tasted good, but it wrecked my throat.
There's too much of a good thing in some of those cases. What's Body drinking?
Oh, blissful broadcast listeners, hit today on All Filled With. I listen to this name, the Spicy Catcher's Mitt IPA. Right? A truly unique specimen straight out of the Base and Barrel Brewery. It's got this outrageous mix of hoppy bitterness and a peculiar hint of hot ghost pepper right at the finish. Who puts hot chilies in a beer? Mad lads, that's who. A real nod to Mets rockstar catcher who can't stay away from spicy food. Trying to chug this down has been quite the adventure. I lost my bar stool, and my dignity maybe.
Okay.
Fantastic. The Spicy Catcher's Mitt IPA is a great name for a beer. It's
That is. I don't know which
really.
catcher she's talking about though. Which catcher likes spicy food?
I don't know. I maybe it's Paul Oduka. He was always kind of a hothead. I could see him being a spicy food guy. Does that sound right to you, Captain Red Ass? They used to call him, right?
Right. Maybe. Oh, well, I mean, I like ghost peppers in my beer.
So what
That's
do
not
we
true.
think?
I like peppers in my beer, but yeah.
So who do we think fixes their swing and gets back into a rhythm first? Do you think it's Alonso or you think it's McNeil?
No, I'm not hopeful for McNeil. Alonso
You're
will be
not.
fine. I don't know what his deal is. He got a single, double, whatever before. I wasn't watching his swing so much, but I don't know what, like, Alonso doesn't seem to have. So I really dug into the numbers earlier today. Basically, he's just not hitting the ball hard.
Is that it?
And
It's just
that's sort of his thing. Like he's swinging a little bit more and missing at pitches outside the zone, which I guess leads him to guess a little more in the zone, and he's making poorer contact basically and not hitting the ball as hard. And I think just take a day, reset, make
Yeah.
better pitch selections, and he'll find his pitch to drive, and then all of a sudden he'll be off to the races again. So that's my hope,
The
at least.
oh, they're just showing now that oh, that's nasty. They're just showing the replay of
Oh
Contreras
yeah.
breaking his arm on that swing. Oh,
Broke his
he is
whole arm on that?
howling. Yeah, he broke his arm. Like his
I
arm made a
didn't.
weird, yeah, he broke the ball. Like it wiggled in a weird, terrible
Oh
way that I'm sorry that I saw now. But no,
yeah.
Alonso had a good drive to the gap on the previous at
Yeah.
bat. So yeah, I think too, yeah, you know, he's more prone to the cold snap. It's just the nature of his game. He'll go a couple weeks where he looks just lost out there, and then all of a sudden he becomes a world beater. But yeah, I don't know what the deal is with McNeil, who he had a little like a lucky base hit earlier in this game that was like off of the third baseman's glove, but
Yeah, we won't count that,
I
but
don't
yeah.
really know what he's doing wrong. You know, the guy won a batting title and
2 years
hasn't really
ago.
looked like that guy since then.
He also was bad the year before that, if I recall, too. So, like, it's this one little fluky thing in the middle. And it's like, I also felt like I was just about to give up on McNeil at the point, too. Like, I feel like
When
he
he
had
had the
been bad at the end of 2019. He was reported bad in 20, whichever year it was. What year are we in? He was bad in 2020. I don't know. He was good in 2020. And then 2021, he was like sort of off. And then 2022, he came back, and he—I think he started slow. And I'm like, "Well, I thought he was
that was
okay,
the
but now he seems
batting
bad." And then all of a
title.
sudden, batting title, and then he's been bad since. He might just be funny though. The Mets have no infielders. I like, what are they going to do? Who are they going to put there? They don't have any
Yeah.
backup infielders.
No, nothing. Nobody, certainly nobody good enough that you want to plug them into the lineup for 6 days a week and just leave them there, you
It's one
know.
day a week. I don't want to see Wendell one day a week out there. You can bury up
Yeah.
Jose Iglesias. At least Jose Iglesias is a better defender than Wendell. They should have swapped those already. But he can't hit. You can't play
No.
him every day. And if Lindor ever gets hurt, they're screwed. And
You already have like a almost complete zero in the lineup in the nine hole to begin with, because neither of these catchers are hitting a lick really right
yeah,
now, and it's
Nito's got a couple of hits. He's not like he had that eye thing last year. So I think that excuses how bad he was last year. He's not good per se, but I think he's almost okay, and he's a decent enough catcher that, like, I mean, to be clear, he's not good, and Alvarez needs to come back sooner rather than later. But like,
yeah, I mean,
sort of has been okay-ish
well, yeah,
since whatever this eye thing was.
hurry back, Francisco. I mean, so in the last 15 days, Nito is 6 for 28, which is a .214 batting average, and Narvaez is 3 for 15, which is a .200 batting average. So with zero homers, the two
Yeah.
of them, Nito's got one solo homer in that time. Narvaez has a single
Yeah,
RBI. So
like
yeah, they're
Nito's
not.
sort of been, it's not been good, but it's sort of like not as automatic an out.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Mean, we'll deal with that. But we do need Al. Their power has been down, especially with that Alonso not hitting. And I
Yeah.
believe I said this in the offseason, like, hey, it's cool that they got Alvarez and then they added JD Martinez, and I think that really gives them that power that they've been lacking and allows them to, knock in a couple of these 2-3 run home runs when days when, especially with McNeil not hitting, when you
Yeah.
need 3 hits, 4 hits to string along to get 3 runs, like it's nice to have those days where you just like, and we just saw it. Nimmo just hit a 3-run home run. They let off three, they gave him 2 hits, and then Nimmo's like, let me just knock him in. And that's 3 runs. If that was just, if Nimmo just hit a single there and they score 1 run and they get out of the inning down 3-1, it's crappy. But instead they set off a little rally and now they're winning.
Yeah, and you know
And
what? I don't know how much of last night's game you caught, but it was interesting to me that they were able to convert that mistake into 2 runs with some situational outs. You know, they were well, should have been first and second, and I think it was Nupar who was in right field, biffed a ball, and the runners ended up at second and third. And then Martin Lindor came up and made outs to the right side, and consecutively, you know, the Marte grounded out and Lindor flew out, and it's like, boy, I can't recall the last time with runners on second and third, the Mets were able to correctly play a couple of runs with outs. You know, it just doesn't seem like something they've done very well this year.
And it's been up and down. But again, I would much rather one of them just popped one too and got all 3 runs and just been done with it. Even if you struck out
Yeah.
too, like especially in that part of the lineup. Like you kind of hope that one of those guys can just run into one and drive it in the gap and score the 2 runs. You have 3 tries for a double to score the 2 runs rather than like
Yeah.
hoping you can pull it to the right side. And like, I
No,
don't know.
I agree with you. I mean, it's a fine line, right? You want them to hit home runs. You want them to have productive at bats with guys on the second and third, but you don't want them to look so badly like they're struggling just to hit home runs and then end up looking awful in the process and just swinging at garbage and making a lot of
I
bad
want
pop
them. I
outs.
want them
And
looking for the pitches to drive in that.
yeah,
I
that's
think.
it. That's it. That's it right there. You want
It
them
doesn't
to
have
do
to be
it
the home run,
correctly.
but I want you to
Yeah,
hit that,
just do it
crush that ball.
correctly. Wow, Paul Goldschmidt batting 200 this year. He looks
He's
awful
struggling
at the
too.
plate. Yeah, so it's nice that other teams' marquee players are also bad. Not everyone could be Bryce Harper hitting a homer every single day.
Yeah, I don't know what's. Oh, the Phillies. I'm calling it. The Phillies are going to have a cold streak coming. They'll go 10 for 20 or something or somewhere this summer and get
I
everybody
like
back
the
in the
idea of
pack.
them losing a bunch of games. That makes me happy, of course.
Maybe starting, what do we say, Monday?
It'd be
Yeah,
a good time for
they can
them
start Monday. Well,
to cool off. I agree.
yeah.
So now they get some. You got a matinee there. You have any chance you get to one of these games? And have you been to Citi
Is
Field
there a
yet this
minute?
year?
Just we talked about opening day.
You went to opening day. That's
Did I
right.
go
You
to
haven't been
opening day?
since though.
No, it wasn't opening day. I got did I cancel? No, I went. No, it wasn't opening day. Sorry, I meant to, and it got canceled because of the rain again.
Yeah, they got
I
pushed
lose
out a
track of
day.
these things. I went, but I did go a couple days after that. I do don't think I will get to another game because I have softball every day.
Gotcha. Yeah, the Syracuse Mets are on the road again next week, and I believe they are home the week of the 20th, which is great because at that point my son will be home. I'm picking up my son from college next week. And so the week of the 20th, yeah, we'd still tough a couple of weeks because my daughter's doing crew and she's got practice till 6:45 most weeknights, which makes it tough to get to a 6:35 game. Oh, Burleson just hit a homer at 6:04 now. So Cole Sulser is in the game. In case you were missing him, I wasn't.
You're like 10. Yeah, you're like 10 seconds ahead of me. I've noticed.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Spoiler alert.
I figured out what my problem was. It's the Chromecast. It's me casting my Hulu to the whatever reason, casting it to my little
Oh,
Chromecast dinghy thing.
that'll make a delay. Yeah.
It just stalls constantly. Like it's very choppy, and I'll lose about a minute
Interesting.
every hour or so.
That's interesting. Yeah, because I'm on a Chromecast, but I'm watching the Hulu app because I have Hulu as well, but it's not really delayed any more than Hulu is delaying it, I guess.
Right. When I watch it live on my phone, it doesn't happen. I tested it all. Like, is it my Wi-Fi? Is it something? No, it's the Chromecast to the TV. Which I guess is fine. Like the stream is delayed enough that I'm trying not to be on social media, like double screening it, dual screening it when the game's on because people are, especially, I don't follow them, any of them, but like even the Mets will spoil stuff.
Oh
They'll be
yeah,
like, hey, look at that play right at the door. I'm like, give me 30 seconds, please.
hundred. Well, is that on Twitter specifically that you see that? Because it seems
I
like,
mean, Facebook too sometimes, but.
I catch it on Instagram, but they're generally at least 5 or 10 minutes behind on the what gets to Instagram, so that they don't spoil it. But it's funny because the Mets had that fantastic game that was the afternoon game that Marte threw out the runners at the plate in back-to-back innings. Gosh, I want to
Oh,
say
right.
it was the Cubs game, right? And it was the getaway day.
I think it was the getaway way, They all blur together with me, but
And it was an afternoon game, and I was able to very correctly, just based on my own personal schedule, avoid the entire thing and watch the whole thing live, not live, watch the whole thing on my DVR in the evening. And what a fantastic, and I was like, I knew it was going to be because it was like 4 hours of content. I'm like, boy, this game went for a while. So it was a fantastic baseball game, though.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, I
That
don't
was
think I'm
when
gonna get
Lindor,
it. Yeah.
yeah, that was the one that Lindor came into mid-game because he had
Right,
an
because he was
RBI earlier in the game, and then he
putting
won it with the
across.
two RBI hit
Yeah,
in the
that was
10th or
good to me.
11th inning, whatever
That's right.
it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that
I've just pretty much written off going to Citi Field until August. And I mean I guess my
August.
wife had talked about going for Father's Day, so maybe we'll do that. But otherwise, like I do between both my daughters playing softball, so I have games every week and like trying to like
Yep.
schedule practices and stuff. It's like if I have a day off, it's like, oh, can we fit a practice in that day? Or like, you know what? I'm just not gonna spend the day. I take my day off from standing in the field for 3 hours to go to Citi Field where I often stand in the field and wander around. I guess if I took the kids, we would sit, but like
Right. Now I'll be there Thursday, July 11th. Will be the my one Mets game of the year. We'll be there with my wife and kids and my mother-in-law who's never been to Citi Field. So that'll be fun. It's an afternoon matinee against the Nationals. We're gonna stay overnight in the New York area, and then the next day, the 12th, is my daughter's birthday. We're going to spend at the Bronx Zoo, which will be fun too.
Bronx Zoo is fun. It's
So,
been a while, but
yeah, my kids have never been there. I haven't been there
okay.
since I was in high school. It's been a long time, so it'll be a fun little trip.
Yeah, we took the kids a couple. I think it was just pre-COVID we had started. And then it's like, you do things with the kids, and then all of a sudden, like, COVID hit, and you're like, oh no, what do we do? And you sort of get out of habit of doing certain things, and then they grow up also, and you're not in that same like mindset. But we're probably due for a trip back to the zoo or botanical gardens or something. We did something like the New York Botanical Gardens has a cool like train show, and they have an
That's
orchid show and
actually
all sorts of stuff.
an awesome place. It's another one my kids have never been to, and I haven't been since I was my son's age. I was college age the last time I was at the Botanical Gardens. It's another great spot. There's some neat
Yeah,
stuff to do down there.
they always have a cool train show in the Christmas time when a couple of years ago. So the only other thing I wanted to talk about was DJ Stewart. Well, actually, I mean Keith too, but we don't know Keith. I always rag on Keith. What did he DJ Stewart's 0 for 3 today, but he's hitting, what, he's got 133 RC plus WRC plus, and his numbers are overall
That's how many
pretty
RC
good.
colas he drinks. I don't know what
RC
RC
Colas, yeah.
plus
So he's
means.
33% better than average at creating runs than the average MLB
He's
player,
had some
which is awesome, basically.
his batting average is sub 200, but he's had some key hits in big spots where he's
Yeah, I
hit a
mean
big home run and he gets on base and
he walks in more than 1 in 5 of his plate appearances, which is awesome, really. Like, that's a lot of walks, and I'll take it. And when he doesn't walk, he drives the ball over the fence. Like,
Yeah, and it's interesting how they've continued to shoehorn him into the lineup. I think
yeah,
even
that's what I want to talk about. Yeah.
after JD Martinez has been there, that he's still getting to play, at least 4 days a week, which is great because they need his bat. You know, he had the big home run the other day. It was really the only runs I think they scored in a game that they won against some baseball team. I don't
The
remember who
baseball
it
team.
was
We talked,
against.
we talked about it 2 weeks ago, I think, is like, why are they not, like, it doesn't seem like they're, with Martinez coming back, that they're going to put DJ out there, because they hadn't been putting him out when they going to put him in left field. But they did put him in left field, and they had him back up for Alonso yesterday. They had him
Yeah,
start
that
with
was.
Alonso getting the rest. So, like, I guess you're gonna, I'm hoping they had him, I'm hoping this wasn't a spur of the minute, like, who are we gonna put there for Alonso? Like I said, they have nobody to back up Alonso either, unless you call
No.
Vientos.
Yeah, and I liked it. I liked that they gave him that chance to play first in Alonso's absence because it's a good way to get him a game in on a day where he wouldn't. I mean, Alonso's not going to sit very often. Obviously, he did to clear his head, but he's not gonna sit once a week or twice a month even, and he's not he just won't him and Lindor will play every single day, so it's cool that he got in at that opportunity, and it's good to know that you have another guy. It's interesting, it wasn't Martinez, it was Stewart who was backing him up there, but he looked all right at first, and
Yeah,
then
I
I
could put
feel like
Martinez there.
somebody
Yeah.
came out of the game and they shuffled him around. McNeil came out and he ended up in left or something like that, so and
Yeah,
Alonso came in, but
they pinch hit Alonso for
that's what it
Wendell, so they had
was.
to pull when they pulled McNeil in, so they put Stewart out and left, and then yeah,
Yeah.
all that shuffling. But yeah, so I guess they're gonna. I guess that means I like DJ Stewart, but again, that's not, he's not really the ideal, like, okay, we're gonna have him back up Alonso, but that means you really have nobody to back up Alonso. You have nobody to back up McNeil at second, and he's McNeil's not hitting anyway, and you have
Yeah.
nobody to back up Lindor. Like, Joey Wendell's not good, and if you have to put him there for any, like, even a week, you're like, oof, this is not good. So
Yeah,
advanced
Joe.
batting on infielder.
Joey Wendell is he's batting 250. He's 8 for 32 on the year, but he's
Yeah,
got
but I
one
think
RBI and he
he
doesn't get
does.
one walk in 9 Ks. Yeah, he hasn't shown very much, and
Does
he's got an
and he
OPS of
seems to have no, I don't
550.
understand. He's supposed to be like a defensive guy and like a veteran, but he seems to have no awareness. Like, no baseball
Yeah,
IQ. And then,
he's
like,
done some
we saw the other day
puzzling
playing
things.
third when he decided to try to make the double play instead of throwing home, and the Mets lost the game as a result. So, like,
They
I
brought
don't
him in
know.
for defense, and then he
Yeah.
made that very questionable
Meanwhile,
choice to not come home with that ball.
Beatty's defense has been amazing at third. Like, he has good instincts and seems to be making great plays. He turned a double, nice double play with Lindor earlier today. Like, he got a nice quick flip to second, and they turned the double play. And it was like, nice.
He's shown progress and at the plate as well. He just looks like a more mature baseball player compared to where he was a year ago. It's encouraging, and well, it's unfortunate, really, that Alvarez got hurt and has not had, because I feel like a lot of it too is just exposure, right? Get more bats, get more face time against major league pitching, and just getting accustomed to what it's going to look like. And Alvarez is missing 2 months of that. While he's laid up, it's unfortunate because this, I think, it's the biggest thing for Beatty is that he's playing every day. He's not worried about losing his spot in the lineup. He knows he's a third baseman. They don't have another here. They really don't have, with Vientos here in Syracuse,
Yeah,
they
I mean,
don't
you
have
could,
anyone
but
else in that lineup that you're going to give us some giveaway Beatty's job to. You're not, he doesn't have to worry about losing
no, he
his job
doesn't.
right
He'll
now.
just
So,
play.
you know, and that gives him the opportunity to grow out there. So yeah, it's encouraging.
Yeah, he
We
struggled a
just,
little bit coming back from his little injury thing, but he seems to be rounding again. As somebody that's every day is thinking about like those reps of updates, like my 9-year-old daughter trying to face kids that are throwing it for the first time, and like the confidence to swing at the plate, and just seeing those pitches, like seeing girls get into the lineup and pitch the, windmill those pitches at you. It's a lot to learn and get confident and comfortable, and you just need to see the reps, and
yeah, I think we've learned this year that the Mets backup infielders are pretty poor. I think we figured that much out, right?
I'm all on the bring up Jose Iglesias and cut Wendell deal, but we'll see, I
Yeah.
guess. I think Zach Short's still floating around somewhere too. I don't think he
He
was. He
is
might have been
that yeah.
worse. He
Yeah,
might have been even worse.
they're both pretty bad so far.
Okay, so any last thoughts before we end this one?
No, we're hoping for good things and continued good signs, and the batters keep
Yeah.
batting and the pitchers keep pitching.
Yeah, 2/3 through the game. That's I mean, we like our bullpen. I think we like our bullpen. This is what I'm saying. The 2 runs, we should be able to hold this down. So,
Agree.
like and review the podcast. Give us 5 stars on all the platforms. Recommend beers. Tweet at us. Tweet at me. Email us. Whatever you like. And let's go Mets.
And let's go beer.
Right under the gun. Love it.
Very nice. All right, good to talk to you.